This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
No, we are not whack jobs. We're talking about the late Tim Beckley, who passed this mortal coil just weeks before he reached 74 years of age, which is young now. Mm-hmm. I mean, really young, and he left before his time. But he was always a fun character. But once again, and you'll know this if you've listened to his appearances on the Paracast, he had a genuine, serious interest in the subject from the time he was very young, when he was like 13 years old. Serious interest, but that didn't stop him from trying to sell product, and you had to separate the two. Now, Tim, having written so many things with Beckley, did you have to set sometimes your belief structure at the door in order to work with this stuff?
No, not at all, because I think that Tim and I, one of the reasons that we work so well together is that, I mean, we both kind of have this philosophy when it comes to all of this stuff is that, well, you know, first of all, and I've said this before on this show before, you know, I try not to believe in anything. I may have some favorite theories and ideas and stuff, but if I go and set my mind to a particular belief structure, then if any kind of contrary evidence comes about, then it's going to be difficult for that to get in because your mind's already a steel trap on some particular belief. So, you know, we enjoyed hearing all of these, you know, these weird stories because, you know, a lot of time, the crazier the story, really the more earnest I think the witness was. I mean, and you know, I could, and I think Tim could as well. We could really tell the people who were just handing you a line rather than somebody who actually had some kind of just truly bizarre experience and, you know, wanted to tell people about it. You know, you get a lot of people who are making the talk circles now who have these just absolutely just off the wall stories. And you can tell that they're just, they're not being upfront about what they're talking about, but they're making a lot of money off of it. So we instead, I mean, we kind of had this philosophy that, you know, if somebody would write us or call us up and say that, you know, they were receiving messages from extraterrestrials from their refrigerators, you know, rather than just hanging up on them, we'd be like, okay, well, put the refrigerator on the phone. Let's hear it talk.
That'd be like right up your guys' alley. Yeah. Mind the normal sightings. We want the really weird ones.
Well, I mean, you know, we like the normal sightings too. We just wouldn't automatically just dismiss something because it sounded, you know, too weird. Like I said, you know, we weren't just going to jump and immediately put in a book in these bizarre stories. I mean, I spent, you know, many a time, you know, on the phone, or if somebody was, you know, close enough within, you know, 300-500 mile radius, you know, I'd actually go out and interview them myself. And I tell you something, the majority of these people that I would talk to who would have some of these experiences, I mean, they were just, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the people next door who were legitimately disturbed by the things that happened to them. Unlike, I think, you know, some writers or what have you, who would just glean this stuff, say, from the internet without doing any vetting on these stories. We always tried to vet these stories as much as possible. And of course, you know, Tim had his mind was like a steel trap when it came to remembering all of these stories. You know, you could, because I struggle all the time trying to remember dates and names on some of these cases, and Tim would just automatically, he would know exactly what I was talking about, and he'd come up with a date and things like that. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I'm among many that I'm going to miss about Tim was his just expansive knowledge on this subject. I mean, you know, as you well know, Gene, you and him, I mean, you were at it when you were, you know, teenagers. So, you know, there are a lot of stuff in the UFO field has happened, you know, since then. And he really did. I mean, he could remember most of it and usually had some kind of personal involvement one way or the other with some of these stories.
I worked next door to Tim's apartment in New York for many, many years. Okay, I worked in the pre-press industry. I was doing some writing on the side. And he had this apartment on East 30th Street between 5th Avenue and Madison. Now, this is an area where the real estate's not cheap. But he was lucky. He found himself a rent-controlled apartment. So till the end of his days, he's living in this apartment for, I don't know, 40 years or something. Mm-hmm. He's paying a few hundred dollars a month. And they couldn't get rid of him. Because the way the laws in New York City worked then, I don't know about now, the landlord is limited in how much they could raise the rent as long as that tenant stays there. When they leave, they could jack it up. But when he was there, that was it.
Yep. And, well, the building where his apartment is, they had renovated all the other apartments and turned them into, like, tourist and corporate rooms. So that, you know, they could sell these rooms to tourists coming in for, say, like a week stay or something like that. And they were all really, really nice. They didn't do a thing to Tim's apartment. He was always saying that, well, you know, there's been a water leak and this section of the ceiling has collapsed. The steam isn't working. It's the middle of winter and I'm freezing. Or just the opposite. There's too much steam and I'm burning up and I can't open the window. That's the situation that he had to deal with, unfortunately, the last years of his life. And of course, his apartment was filled to the ceiling with all of his books, his files, all kinds of you know, information that he collected.
So what's going on with all? Excuse me for breaking in here, but like, I mean, you guys were doing the radio show together, the conspiracy journal together. You know, what's happening with all of that stuff? Were you guys still sending out stuff? And like, what's going to happen in terms of the legacy of it, of his stuff? And or do you guys still have subscribers or? What's going on with all of that?
Well, okay, the Conspiracy Journal newsletter, the email newsletter, even though I've kind of put it on hiatus for a little while just to deal with everything I will probably continue that again. Now, he would have a published version that was like more like a catalog that he'd put out. You know, used to be quarterly, but he had changed it to like a couple times a year. So, you know, that's gone. Of course, I have no idea really what his family plans to do with Interlight Global Communications. You know, his longtime assistant Carol. I know that his niece Dory, who is really Dory and her children are his only remaining living relatives. They really had. I don't think they had any idea just to the extent of his business and you know what they're going to do with it. Now, as for his files and everything that he has, you know, hopefully he wanted, and I can't remember the name of the organization, but there's a place in Sweden that deals with trying to collect people's files notes and stuff after they pass away. And Tim was wanting that organization to get his material.
We've got more to come. Remembering Tim Beckley with Tim Swartz, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Thank you. Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I assume at some point he would have had to have moved all his stuff out of that apartment, or his family would after his passing, right?
Well, it's all still there. Tim's funeral is actually just really not that from, you know, when we're recording this right now. It's just really a little bit more than a week ago. So, they're now in the process of trying to figure out how they're going to get that stuff out. And that's going to be a daunting task because, like I said, the last time that I visited in there in Manhattan, I mean, the place, it was bursting at the seams, with this material. So
it was a mess.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully they will be able to get this stuff to this group in Sweden, because I mean, there's just so much of it, and it would just be a shame, like other people that I have heard about, if their stuff just ends up in a dumpster somewhere.
And, you know, I'll tell you a sad story. It's in the forums, the Paracast forums, at theparacast.com/forum or forum.theparacast.com. When Jim Moseley died, and Jim Moseley was one of the original guests on the Paracast and somebody I also knew longer than I knew Tim Beckley, or maybe around the same time. I knew him for, you know, many, many years. And we did a remembrance of Jim Moseley, like, in 2012. Okay? He died in 2012. He lived in an apartment in Key West, Florida. Now, after he left, his daughter tried to have a garage sale to sell everything off. And I saw messages in our forum from somebody saying, well, she was left this stuff out in the street despite the rain, trying to sell off his old Smith Corona electric typewriters. I mean, it was sad. But basically, so far as I know, in his final years, a guy named Tom Benson in New Jersey, a researcher, don't know if he's still with us, was receiving a lot of the documents and information from Jim. What was left when he died basically was gone. It was left on the street or sold to people for small amounts of money. But whatever he left, no effort was made to preserve any of it other than what he donated before he died.
Mm-hmm. If someone wanted to, you know, so say we have a listener out there who is interested in maybe obtaining some of the stuff just to, in order to preserve it, is who would they contact?
Well, like I said, right now, see, I'm almost certain that his family is well aware of the value of his material. All right, so this group in Sweden, they contacted me and I well knew that Tim had wanted them to have this material. They contacted me and then I gave them Tim's niece her email address and phone number as well. So right now they're working together on this.
So I guess if people were interested, they could maybe get in touch with these people. They're probably I think I know who you're talking about there in Sweden. It's the Archive for the Unexplained. They've got quite a large collection there, actually. Yeah.
Right. And I can't pronounce the guy's name. He's got a pretty well-known blog where he writes about especially, you know, Swedish and other Scandinavian countries, especially like the contactee experiences and stuff. But yeah, and of course, you know, Tim's assistant, Carol Ann Rodriguez, she's working with Dory, Tim's niece. And so, I think it would just be a matter of trying to shovel through everything, to get to. Now, you know, most of his important files, were kept in one location. I do know that, but now a lot, you know, he also had like a vast collection of older, you know, magazines, UFO zines, from the very beginning. You know, that stuff may be a little bit harder to gather up, you know, categorize and send, which would be a shame. But I think that the majority of his files, paperwork, photographs, things like that, should be easily accessible and taken care of properly. But yeah, I don't know if any of you have ever had to deal with dealing with a relative's property after they have passed on.
It's a big job.
It's
a lot of work, and definitely. I mean, it all depends on the situation and if you've got people to help and mm-hmm. what kind of resources you have and everything else. But, you know, people can figure this out as we go over time. How about you then? Now, where does this leave you, and what are you going to be doing yourself? I noticed you've got a site called Spectral Vision, I think. Is that yours as well?
Right. Spectral Vision is what Tim, myself, and Sean Castile used mostly to plug new books. Tim would, Tim and Sean would prepare an article, say you had a new book coming out, and we'd put it up on Spectral Vision. It was really just another way to get information out there about what we were doing, and we're going to keep that going. Right now, we're working on a kind of like a memorial to Tim. We've got a number of his friends and colleagues who are actually willing to write something up, and we're going to put that up on Spectral Vision, kind of like a memorial. And Tim was we were actually in the middle of working on a book, a new book, when Tim passed away, and we had all of the chapters completed. And Sean Castile was in the process of going through them, proofreading them, and things like that. And then after he's done with that, he sends it all to me, and then I put it together into an actual a book format. So almost everything had been sent to us by Tim before he was hospitalized for about a week. And then he came home, and he was home less than a week when he passed away. So, he was able to send us most of the material. We didn't get any of the, unfortunately, any of the photographs.
We've got more to come with Tim Swartz remembering Mr. UFO. Timothy Green Beckley, and Jim Owsley called him Timothy Greed Beckley, by the way, with less than seriousness, of course. More to come with Gene and Tim and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Department of Justice has announced a lawsuit against the state of Georgia over its recently passed election reform law. The department alleges the measure unfairly restricts black Georgians' right to vote. But Georgia's attorney general says the suit is a campaign flyer instead of an action to uphold federal law. Chris Carr tells Fox News that the state's law actually expands voter access.
The United States Department of Justice is playing politics. They're not trying to uphold the law. And this action that they filed, this blatantly political action that they filed, is factually, legally, and constitutionally wrong. Anybody who actually takes the time to read the Georgia law sees that it strengthens security, it expands access, and it improves transparency in Georgia's elections.
You're listening to USA Radio News. A former employee of a Houston hospital is speaking out about her termination because of her refusal to get a COVID vaccination. Brad Bernards reports.
A former hospital technician in Texas is speaking out about being fired for refusing to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. Latricia Blank worked as an ultrasound technician at Houston Methodist.
When I found out they were going to mandate it, my husband and I had a very difficult conversation. I was like, okay, do I need to go ahead and do it? I don't want to, but to keep my job, which also has insurance for our family. It was a very hard decision. I love the people that I work with and then the connection of the patient, but we both agree that it's not for us.
Blank said her concern about the vaccine is how quickly it was developed and the amount of research that was done. From the West Texas USA Radio Newsroom, I'm Brad Bernards.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I don't want to be gross about this, Tim Swartz. Did Mr. Beckley know before he died, this is it? I don't think I have much time left.
I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, over the last, I think, 3 years or so, he definitely had serious health issues. You know, he had to have a pacemaker installed, and he had problems with diabetes. But like this past year, he was really having bad issues, especially with his legs. Retaining water and things like that, which you know is indicative of serious heart problems. But like all of us, I think that Tim just thought that we'll just go day by day. But I don't. He never talked to me about saying he never would say, well, I don't think I have much time left or anything like that. I mean, he talked quite a bit about oh God, I can't sleep well at night. I can't lie down on the bed. I have to sleep in a recliner, things like that. But we all have as we get older, we all have our problems. But I don't think that he was expecting this was going to be his last week on Earth. I mean, it wasn't a situation where he was like, well, I'm going to go into the hospice and that's it. No, he was he was plugging away right to the very end. You know, we did our last show exploring the bizarre. Let's see, it would have been, Thursday, and then he passed away sometime between then, that following Sunday or Monday, during the Memorial Day weekend. So yeah, I mean, you know, he was doing our radio show, and like I said, we were working on this this one book. That's just the way it goes.
What are you guys doing with the radio show now, then? How's that going to work out?
I'm going to end it. You know, it's just you know, I just it's just not going to be any fun doing it without Mr. Beckley. You know, he was such an integral part of the show.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, it just wouldn't be exploring the bizarre anymore. I mean, you know, down the road I may take on another show of my own, but for this one, how can you do it without Tim? You know, it just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be pretty tough to stand in, that's, you know, for anyone who wanted to fill the place. And I don't think anyone could, really.
Oh, no. And I think that a lot of people tuned in just to listen to Tim tell his stories. You know, because most of the guests that we had on, you know, they, maybe they would get, some airtime, but a lot of it ended up being, you know, Tim telling his fantastic stories.
Well, that's really interesting, and it's like you were saying, like, you know, we don't want to necessarily dwell on the sort of the darker side of death and all of that, but, you know, when you talk about the paranormal, well, that is what we're talking about a lot of the time, and right. All of the interesting things that go on around that, and as people get older, they have this aversion to talking about death. Mm-hmm. And what is going to happen. It becomes like a word you just don't say. It's almost as if it's a manifest destiny or something like that. And people do start to have odd, strange, what Tim would call synchronicities happen with them. Mm-hmm. And these were going on with Tim all the time, and they seem to be getting more frequent as time went on and as all of this approached. And I'm just wondering if you noticed any of that about the situation.
It seemed like that most of the synchronicities that Tim would have, you know, because when you think about synchronicities, a lot of times you think that it's going to have some kind of meaning. Say you're dwelling on a problem and you have a synchronous event that actually helps solve that problem or things like that. With Tim, and he would always, he would bring this up quite a bit. I mean, he would have synchronous events where there didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to them. And that's what, I mean, he was hoping that, that something would happen that he could put his finger on it and say, yes, this happened because this was happening. No, they just seem to be synchronous events just out of the blue. The one he always liked to talk about is when he was in Arizona and parked, they were at a restaurant parking lot. When they came out, there was a car parked next to him that had the license plate APRO.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, APRO.
We were talking about that on the last show.
Right, yeah. Right, you know. And that's, you know, and that's the kind of events that he would have. And it's just like, you know, while they're, you know, really interesting and really stand out, what was the meaning to it? You know, it wasn't like then he'd get a phone call from the person who has all the APRO files, you know, in their garage and hasn't been letting anybody look at them, you know, call Tim up and say, hey, you can come and get them if you want to. No, it was just something like that. And that's, I was trying to remember. I know that he had told me a couple of them, you know, like the last a week, but, again, it was more of a situation where there didn't really seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. It seems to me that when he was in the hospital, a doctor came in and said, are you Mr. Tim Beckley? And Tim's like, yeah. And the doctor had this chart and started asking Tim about his conditions, and it turned out that it was a different Tim Beckley. Just down the hallway was another Tim Beckley.
Yeah. I mean, okay, that could happen, but it's still, see, this is what Tim's life was like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, that's why I was asking, because it doesn't necessarily matter what the synchronicity was. It was just the fact that they're happening. Right. And And it seems, you know, it was just like, are they a portend of something? Who knows? Right. It's just a matter of that. Because it's him, and that's what he is interested in.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to magnetize that. You know, he drew these situations to himself. Or do you think it's just a case of, well, you just happen to notice it? You know, I think it goes beyond that with Tim.
Tim, you know, because you know me, my theory, and again, not a belief, it's a theory, of synchronicities is that there is like an interconnecting web that connects us all with the universe, and that we're, you know, we all, you know, you pluck a string that's coming off of you, and it's going to vibrate someplace on the other side of reality. Tim kind of tossed around the idea that we are living in a simulation. You know, he kind of liked that idea that our reality is kind of like a matrix simulation. He wrote about that quite a bit in one book he did called the Matrix Control System of Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we talked about that last time he was on the show, actually.
Right.
More conversation about Mr. UFO. Tim Beckley, I'm going to ask that question, leave it on the table before we split for the segment, for Tim Swartz to explain how the heck did Tim Beckley become Mr. UFO? With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Tehibo
Yellow Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So there we go. Tim Beckley. Tell us, Tim Swartz, how did he become known as Mr. UFO?
I wish I could tell you, Gene. You maybe know that better than I do. It probably was just a situation where somebody just yelled at him from across the room, "Hey, there's a UFO!" You know, something like that.
I can break in on that on this one if you want.
Sure, go for it.
It wasn't just somebody. It was Ace Frehley from Kiss. Because I guess Tim was, he's dabbled in the entertainment business as well,
right?
Back when the story that I heard from him when he was describing it was that this was back when Kiss was just getting started out and he was working in the same club and they knew who he was, but the Ace kept forgetting who he was, but he knew that he was into UFOs, mm-hmm. and he said, it's like, go ask Mr. UFO. And so that, something to that effect. It was
right.
Ace Frehley from Kiss that gave him that nickname, and so he decided he would stick with it, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's not many people can say that, they got their nickname from Ace Frehley.
Well, and that's, Tim always liked to say that, the address book that he was still using, that he still had, Gene Simmons' mother's telephone number.
Oh, man.
In his book, because that was, it was where, he was still living home with mom and practicing out of their garage when Beckley first met them. But you're right, Randall. Tim was very into the music scene, and actually, published a number of magazines on
did
the.
Did he
on
record the anything himself? Like, did he was as a musician or?
There was one. Gosh, I can't remember what the song was. Now, he didn't sing, but I guess like he was playing like the tambourine or something like that in the background with the this is why I need Tim, because I can never remember the names.
Right.
Who are the rock and roll singers that brothers? They were albinos.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, see, now you're doing it too.
Exactly who it is.
Yeah.
I think that misses a generation of the music I liked. I was not a big fan of Kiss, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was all about their look. Speaking of which, we mentioned, of course, Sean Castile, another one of Tim's partners. What can you tell us about Sean? How does he fit into all this?
Oh, gosh. I mean, Sean was writing for Tim very early on. I know that Tim contacted me when he was getting ready to publish the first issues of UFO Universe. I don't know, Gene, if you worked on that one as well.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he had, like, Sean. He contacted me for some articles and some rewrites of some other authors who needed their copy punched up a little bit. But, you know, I'm not sure. I really should ask Sean just exactly how far back they go, because, I mean, I know that all of the early issues of his magazines, UFO Universe, and then some of the, you know, the offshoots, I mean, Sean was right there working with him, but, you know, I really couldn't tell you where they first connected.
I see a picture of him here. In Amazon says, I'm a freelance journalist who has written about UFOs, alien abductions, and other paranormal subjects since 1989.
Okay.
So he started after you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my first articles were published in when I was in college to help get me beer money for some of these magazines that actually did pay at the time. Some of the offshoot, Saga's UFO Report, Top.
Saga's UFO Report.
Yeah.
I remember that well. I remember writing a couple of pieces for them and then begging and begging for my $300.
Yes. Yes. Well, okay. Now, see, that is one of the things that I always have to emphasize when talking about Tim Beckley, is that Tim Beckley always paid his writers.
That is correct. I mean, when I was doing production work for his magazines, he'd even pay me ahead of time. Run a little short of money that week. Hey, Tim, you going to advance me a little bit? Sure. He was always generous and honest about his financial dealings. Never, ever had a problem with that. Unlike some of these publishers, I remember I did an article for one of those supermarket tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
An interview with Major Donald Kehoe. Really good interview. A couple of pages. And it looked really good in the magazine. And the magazine folded like 2 weeks before I was going to get paid.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I mean, Tim always paid, and he never griped about it either. You know, some of these publishers, I mean, they would act like that you were asking for their mother's grocery money, you know, for just a couple hundred dollars. but not Tim. I mean, he was always always generous, always willing to pay, always was coming to me with new ideas, and everybody else who was, you know, involved in these publications, you know, Sean, Diane, Tessman, you know, people like that. Tim was just this, he was just this never-ending fountain of ideas, you know. He'd come to me or some of the others and say, what about, and then, you know, he'd throw out some ideas. And he's like, could we write a book about that? Or when he was still doing the magazines before the company that was publishing his magazines folded, he would say, can we do like a one shot magazine on this particular subject or that particular subject. You know, that was something that Tim was always really good at, was publishing magazines. I mean, you know, he often talked about some of these like one shot magazines that he would do. What was it like? You know, Moped Monthly, I think, was one of them that, you know, that he did.
Hey, but I should tell you how it worked in the magazine publishing industry. And I worked with a magazine called Beyond Reality with a guy named Harry Belil. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. And the way the deal worked is they call the magazine books, and you go to a publisher, and they'd work a deal with a distributor, and the distributor would give you an advance. And you'd live on that advance, and the advance was based on what they believed they could sell. And if you had enough books out there, you get a lot of advances, and that way you'd make a living, at least until the distributor said, you know what, we're not selling enough of those, let's kill that book. And that's how UFO Universe survived. It was one of the books put out by a publisher for whom Tim worked, and they kept it going for as long as it was feasible and practical. And it was no longer than maybe he'd have alternative things. But Tim didn't just do the paranormal, as you were saying. He'd get involved in lots of other subjects, whether it was mopeds or anything else, whether it was rock and roll, whether it was producing these soft porn videos. And they were perfectly awful. But if you go to the Internet Movie Database, you will see Tim Beckley listed as an actor or a producer putting out this stuff, and I remember helping him generate the covers for some of them. But they were things that if you watched them for more than 10 seconds, they would not be worth anything, but he apparently made money from them.
Well, he tried to get into doing some horror stuff as well, I think, too.
Oh, yeah.
Some grade B horror. So, you know, like just, I think that's actually really cool that a person could just go, hey, I just got this creative idea and I'm just going to go and see just, you know, how far I can take it, because so many people have an idea, but they won't do anything with it. It's easy to come up with ideas, but he'd get out there and actually try and do something with it.
More to come with Tim, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.